I want to thank David for that song he led. It's a great lead-in and a great song to go between what we studied this morning for Bible class and what we're going to cover in worship. Thank you, David. He and I did not talk, but it's a great song of talking about the faithfulness of God and the promises of God and our obligation as Christians and those that want to serve God. One announcement just of housekeeping. We have on the back table there a black and white copy of our prototype of a directory. If you have not looked at it yet and verified your information is correct, please do so. If you have, please initial or mark or put some mark that you'd look so I know that you looked at it, so I know can make sure everything is correct, so we can follow things and get this finished up here. We'd like to get a color copy out to everybody. So if you have any changes, please pencil those in. If you don't have any changes and it's okay, just let us know and just put a check or an X or something so I know that you saw. The title of my lesson this morning, for Sunday morning, let's go on to worship here and think why we came here today is to worship God. Hopefully, that's why we're here. I'd like us to ask the question, are we Sunday morning only Christians? I look at the numbers on the wall there. And I see last week we had 70 for worship, 52 for evening worship, and I guarantee you that we had even fewer on Wednesday. We need to think about, are we Sunday morning only Christians, or do we come here with the intention of worshiping and obeying God and serving Him? Because this is not a one day a week or one half a day a week job. It's a 7 day a week, 24 hours a day thing that we should be doing. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We frequently misread or read things into this chapter that are these verses that we are not entitled, are not in there, and I wonder why we do that. Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 24, we're going to start. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, but for those that of other versions, you just know if there's a slight difference in wording, that's the reason why. And now let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. If you'll also turn your Bibles to Romans in the 12th chapter, let's look at something here. Starting in verse 1, reading verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12, it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this morning. We've gathered together to offer Thee our worship. We pray that our worship may go up to Thee as a sweet-smelling savor. We pray that we may be faithful, obedient servants of Thine. We may love Thee. We may follow Thee. We may serve Thee in all that we do. Bless our efforts. We pray that Thou forgive us our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like us to think about why we're here this morning. Those that profess to be Christians, hopefully we're here to worship God, but we need to think about what that worship entails. If you'll turn over into in Revelation, last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, notice verse 10 that reads, it talks about, John says, I was there on the Lord's day. He's referring to the fact that there are a couple interpretations of this verse, but the generally accepted one is the reference to the Lord's day being the first day of the week. If that is the first day of the week and this is his day, if that is truly what this is saying, if this is his day, since it started, how many of us men will go home and watch football this afternoon? How many women will be putting their minds to football or other things? How many of us will be thinking of God, treating this as the Lord's day, or is it our day? Is it our day of rest? Are we serving God? Notice Hebrews 10:24. It says, 10:25. It says, not forsaking our own assembling together is a habit of some, but encouraging one another. In other words, we need to make sure we have our minds set and dedicated on God. If this is the Lord's day, then let us treat it as the Lord's day. That means this evening should have the same number of people here as this morning. In fact, maybe more. We need to put this as God's day and serve God and think of God in all that we do and strive to be pleasing to God in all that we do. We need to put God first in our lives. Is he second behind the Dallas Cowboys? Is he second behind many of the other things that we may have to do in this life? Or is he first? What are we doing? We need to think about how we can strengthen our relationship to God and with God. We do this through proper worship. One of the ways that we can do that is through proper worship. This is one of the ways that we can outwardly show our and can best demonstrate our love to God, our love for God. And we need to make sure our worship, if God is first, our worship is in harmony with what Jesus revealed. Notice we've referenced this scripture many times, but we don't think about it and really think about what obedience to God means in all that we do. John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Where are we? Are we halfway worshipers? Are we Sunday morning only worshipers? Or are we worshiping God with every fiber of our being, every day of the week, 7 day a week Christians? As I'd like to say, 24/7 Christians. I know some of these marketing folks like to say 24/7, 365, but if you're doing it 24/7, you're doing it every day of the week, every hour, every day. We don't need the extra, maybe for emphasis, but are we serving God as the Bible teaches 24/7? Have we put God first in our lives, or are we putting God second in our lives? Are we serving God, or are we serving man? Because when we serve and our TVs are glued to the Cowboys or something else, I'm not saying that we can't pay attention to what happens in football from time to time, but do we have God first? We need to soberly look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what are we putting first? It includes keeping his commandments. John 14:15 tells us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, if we love God, we will always put him first. We'll keep his commandments, and our minds will be on God. Yes, our minds will be on God 24/7. Does that mean we can't watch football? No, it doesn't mean that. I paid attention to what happened to college teams I like to support. UTSA managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory yesterday, unfortunately. They played a great game. But we're here to worship God, and our minds should be on God. We live in this world, but our minds should be first focused on God. We need to think of him. Notice John in chapter 14. If we drop down into verse 21 of that same chapter, it says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him." In other words, are we putting God first? We need to make sure that our focus is purely on God. Down to verse 23 of that same chapter, John 14, says, "And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode in him." In other words, if we serve God and we keep our mind focused on God, God will be there. He'll be there when we need him. He'll be there in all situations. John chapter 15, verse 10 says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In other words, are we worshiping him while we're here? What is your mind on right now? Is it on God? Or is it what I'm going to do today? What I'm going to eat for lunch? What I'm going to have to fix for lunch? Is it about Cowboys? Or is it about going home? Is it about changing your clothes? Where is our mind? What are we doing? We can worship God in a couple of ways. We can worship God through our public assemblies. And yes, we need to all be here as the scriptures teach, but we can also worship God in our private devotions. And we should be doing that also. Matthew 6:6 tells us, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In other words, we need to not only pray to God and serve God, we need to not only be attendants in worship, but we need to take time in our busy lives to pray to God. And are we doing that? Are we serving God? Are we having private worship and public worship? Are we there when we need to? We need to make sure that we have our private devotion to God and our public devotion to God. We need to make sure that we are obedient to God. Again, like I say, being halfway, having our minds on something else while we're here is not obeying God, not loving God. Again, why is this so important? Others must see in us the blessings of walking with God, not simply the pride of knowing about the Lord. We cannot share what we do not have. In other words, how can we teach others about God, which we should be doing? Not only should, we must be doing if we are not worshiping and having our lives focused on God first. We talked about this morning in Bible class, the faithfulness of God. God, through all the centuries, through all the existence of this world, has shown his faithfulness to mankind, his love for mankind, his plan for mankind, his desire for mankind to serve him, to love him, and obey him. God has shown his faithfulness to us. The question is, are we going to show our faithfulness to God and serve God? Are we going to dedicate our lives? No matter how strong our relationship with God, we can always improve. And anyone that says they can't is just fooling themselves. God, Paul even recognizes in his own life. Notice, turn over to Philippians, the third chapter. Let's look at what he writes here. Philippians 3:12. He says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal it to you also. You know, there's a thought that goes around, and I may be very true, that Paul was probably interested in sports. We can see, and if we look in the New Testament and Paul's writings, his many sports analogies that he uses. He talks about running the race, of competing for the prize. But notice what he points out is that to compete in the race, to achieve that prize, we must have a single-minded goal of achieving that reward. We need to be striving with every fiber of our being to get there. Who would have a whole lot of confidence in an athlete that virtually every day is sitting around, just the runner that's sitting back and just being lazy, the weightlifter that sees the weights there but doesn't go out and use them? Is that type of person ever going to succeed in the sport? No. Just likewise, the Christian whose Bible sits there on the desk all day and gathers dust that's never opened, I question if they may have obeyed God, they may have been baptized and immersed for remission of sins. But the Christian that has done that, that doesn't focus and keep God first, is not observing God with the mentality that they should. They're not growing. They're not loving God. They're not demonstrating to us. Peter wrote that our spiritual growth must always be increasing. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, where am I today versus where was I last year, last week, last month, 5 years from now? Have I grown? Notice over in 2 Peter in the first chapter. Notice what he says there, starting in verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and your self-control, perseverance, and your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they may render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Are we growing? Are we increasing? Can we truthfully say today that one or more of these qualities are better in me than they were last week, last month, last year? Can we truthfully say that we are growing in God? Or have we regressed in any of these? We need to make sure that our growth is increasing. Notice what he says in verse 8 of that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing. In other words, he's telling us that we need to give all diligence, as it says in verse 5. All diligence in our faith supply these qualities. Where are we? In our perseverance, in our godliness, our brotherly kindness. Where are we in our knowledge of God? Have we studied God's word? Are we learning it? Where are we in our self-control? Are we better in control of ourselves last week than we were last week? Can we say that we're overcoming? We need to add to our faith virtue and to our virtue knowledge. Notice if we turn over to Psalm, the first Psalm, Psalm 1:1, what the psalmist writes here. He tells us, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. There's a beautiful picture of an individual who has located themselves in the right spot. In this case, it's the man who's planted himself. He's like the tree that's firmly planted by the streams of water. Have we planted our soul firmly near God's word? Are we inculcating in our service, in our thoughts, in our mind, God's word? Are we studying it, reading it daily? Are we growing in it? Or are we regressing? Sunday morning only Christians. Yes, these are the ones that only show up Sunday morning. We only see you here. We love you. We care for you. We'd like to see you more often. But we need to think about where we are as a Christian. Because if we're a Sunday morning only Christian, we're not supporting the work of the Lord. We're not supporting the work of the church. We're not supporting God the way we should. We're not being like this man who's a tree firmly planted by the streams of water. Why is it so good? The tree that's planted by the streams of water can drink in the water it needs. It can take in the nutrients it needs. Is thoroughly refreshed. As we've gone through the summer, we know what a summer is like and what happens when it's out water. We can look all around us and see the lawns that are almost dead, the trees that died, the drought we just went through. Where are we? Are our souls starving like that? Or are we growing? We need to think about that. We need to think about the fact that our spiritual growth is supposed to be that growth of which, as Peter wrote, we need to give all diligence. Like I've talked about the sports player, the football player that never shows up to practice, the runner that never runs, is that giving all diligence? We clearly would say no. But do we give all diligence in our Christianity? How often do we read God's word? How often are we here? How often we serve God? How often do we obey God? We show others, we show ourselves, we show God through our faithfulness, through our service, through our obedience. We need to make sure that we're obeying God the way he has. Our personal efforts must be accompanied by frequent assembling. Notice Hebrews 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works. In other words, all of us need to be encouraging each other to be here on Sunday or whenever the church gathers together. It says, not forsaking our own assembling together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. How many of us came yesterday? We had an assembly. Our church was trying to assemble together to go out door knocking. As I remember, as I got through, there were two or three books that we had set up for door knocking that were not used. I didn't count how many people are here, but I can guarantee it was not more than 20. And yet we have, what, 70, 80 here in the morning, Sunday morning? What are we doing? We're forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We're disobeying God. We're disobeying Hebrews when we don't come. Understand that. I'm not trying to mince words this morning. And yes, I'm maybe walking on my own shoes too, scuffing the toes of my boots, because I'm trying to remind myself and remind everybody of what we need to do as Christians. We need to be faithful and serve God in all that we do. We need to not be halfway Christians. We need to be complete, full Christians. We need to serve God in all that we do. Yeah, I get at times, have I ever shown up Sunday morning and left or after the Lord's Supper to take the family someplace in the past? Yes, I've done that once or twice. Is that wrong? I'd readily agree that I should not have ever done that. In other words, we come here for worship, all the acts of worship. And the lesson that we're trying to hear this morning is one of the acts of worship that we should have and show to God, our faithfulness. We need to serve God. We need to fellowship each other, and we can obey God and serve God, love God through our fellowship. This is one of the best ways we can demonstrate our love for the brethren, by not forsaking ourselves together, as Hebrews chapter 10 talks about. Where do we get the idea that passage only applies to Sunday morning worship? It doesn't say anything about Sunday morning worship. It says assembling ourselves together, and we assemble ourselves together many times during the week. We as a church need to come together. We're to fellowship one another in many ways. One is to come together as a church, as we are here together. We're fellowshipping. We see each other. We talk to each other. Notice Acts chapter 20, verse 7. I wonder how many of us would stick around if this happened. Notice on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them. Intending to leave the next day, he prolonged his message until midnight. What would happen Sunday night when we came together if whoever preaches on Sunday night prolonged the lesson till midnight? How many people would be left here? I don't know. But Paul did that, and the church stayed. They listened to him. They carried each other. Notice 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. It says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. In other words, we need to show our love to each other. We extend hospitality to each other. We help each other. We try to serve God. We try to do what's right. If we think about Christ, when he came to this earth, Christ, as I can see, had two thoughts on his mind. One is obeying the Father, obeying God. He being God had to obey. But he also came with another mind, and that is the love of fellow man. And that love extended the fact of his realizing what happens to his fellow mankind if they don't obey God. In other words, his love was there to encourage each and every one of us to be faithful in service to God, to be hospitable to each other, to love each other, to fellowship each other. And one of the ways he did this was through evangelism. In other words, he was constantly teaching those around him what they needed to do to obey God. If we look at the Bible, we can find that some accepted this, some didn't. We need to ask ourselves, if these things are the case, where are we? Are we accepting them? Are we rejecting them? If we look over in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, notice what Christ did. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, Christ's focus was on teaching the lost, teaching mankind around him how to be obedient to God and how to attain salvation. Now, we recognize that most of mankind did not listen to him. If we look at the situation when he died, when he crucified, there were 12 apostles, one of which sinned against him. There were maybe 120 disciples all told that may have obeyed him, were seeking him. Not much of mankind. But Christ held out and he tried. He gave every fiber of his being in obedience to the mission that he was sent. We can call for prayers on behalf of the lost. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 37, the same passage here. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." I want to point out the fact in Matthew 28:28, every one of us has been sent out as, and are sent out. We're to be workers in the kingdom. We're to be workers in the harvest. We're to be teaching the world around us. The question, are we? I would say no, from the lack of attendance we had yesterday when we went out door knocking to try to encourage people to hear the gospel, to encourage people to come. This next week we'll have the gospel meeting. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Our brother that's going to preach is here today. He came in early. He's having some vacation, but he's also preparing, and I know he's using the time because he already asked for some materials from me. He's preparing to make sure he brings the best lessons he possibly can. What are we doing? And will we be here for that gospel meeting? Will we be trying to help our soul grow? Or will our soul be withering? Are we saying the harvest is plentiful? Are we planting the seed? Notice Christ in the same area. We turn down into Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Notice what Christ says. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and kind of sickness. Drop in down to verse 5. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, 'Do not go in the way of Gentiles. Do not enter in any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" As Christ sent out his apostles, he sent out those to teach and preach in Israel. We have been given the great commission by Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Why is the church not growing today? The answer is real simple. We're not preaching the word to mankind. We're not going out and doing our job. If we would, I can guarantee you, we would find those that want to obey God. We need to show our concern for the lost every day. We need to do it through personal evangelism. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." We need to show these people around us that we love and care for them because we need to be ready to expound God's word to them. We need to make sure that we are being faithful to God as God has been faithful to mankind. John chapter 1, John 1, verse 45, says, people, let me try again. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Notice what Philip said as he closed that passage. And Philip said to him, come and see. Are we telling our neighbors, our friends, come and see? Are we giving out brochures and inviting people to come to our assembly? Will we even be here? We need to understand that we need to come to him. We need to support the evangelists in other countries. We need to help those as they go around the world. Romans 10, 14 says, how then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good tidings. What are we doing to help send out preachers? Preachers not only into our community, but preachers around the world. Are we working to teach others? Are we working to serve God? Are we working to serve ourselves? Disciples, those obedient to Christ, those followers of God, demonstrate their love for the lost by engaging in evangelism. We have an obligation, each and every one of us, to do that, to do so, to teach others. As I wrap up the lesson this morning, it's a little shorter than normal, but it's all right. We need to think heavily about these subjects. We need to strengthen our relationship with God, and we need to think about why this is so important. We must see in us, others must see in us the blessings of walking with God, not simply the pride of knowing about the Lord. What are we doing? Are we showing those in the church? Are we showing those around us our faith and fidelity to God? Are we here when we should be? Are we teaching others? We cannot share what we do not have. In other words, if we're not growing, we're not serving God, we don't have anything to share. And one of the reasons why we don't share is because we're afraid. We're afraid that, I won't know how to answer that person. Okay, have you studied God's word? What did you do to become a Christian? Can you tell somebody else that? There are those that know a lot of Bible. Are we willing to study, to serve God? Are we willing to teach others? Are we trying to hold this to ourselves? We need to ask ourselves, where are we? Where are we in our example? Where are we in our life and our obedience to God? Are we giving all diligence to add those qualities to our life? Are we serving God? Are we loving God? With this lesson having been taught, let us think about our relationship to God. If there's any that need to obey God, to put on Christ as in baptism, we have the waters ready. And if there's a Christian here that needs to repent of their sins, needs to serve God better, we pray that they'll come forward. We also know that we have a service this evening. We hope we'll see every one of you this evening for this service. We're about to stand and sing a song. If anyone has a need to come and obey God, let's do so as we stand and sing our song.